Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Save big money on everything for your projects now at Menards. Plastic lattice panels are durable, low maintenance, and are easy to install. They're a great accent for deck skirting, garden trellises, and creating privacy walls. We stock a huge variety of colors and sizes to fit your project. Save big on lattice at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Hey, get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Sign up for the free newsletter. Subscribe on YouTube. Follow all the social media accounts. You can listen to all the episodes on the website. You can watch all the episodes on the website. It's basically one-stop shopping for all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. That's commonfan.co. Get there. Get signed up. Get yourself ready to roll for football season. It's June. If you're not starting to get yourself in football shape, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you.
Common
fans. It's
going to be here before we know it.
Fall camp's going to be here before we know it. Also, get your Common Fan socks. Go to sillysco.com, S-I-L-L-I-E-S-C-O.com. S-I-L-L-I-E-S-C-O.com. Sillysco.com. Get your Common Fan socks. Use the promo code GBR for life. That's GBR, number 4, L-I-F-E. That promo code will get you 25% off everything on the site, not just Common Fan socks, but everything they've got. And they've got a lot of fun stuff. If you want to go peacocking around the office, get yourself to sillysco.com and get some fun socks. Gentlemen, we got a really fun and important episode tonight. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about the most essential Nebraska football players in 2025.
Yep.
There is a saying that I'm fond of.
Oh boy.
And it goes like this.
Here we go.
Okay.
Fate is fluid. Destiny is in the hands of men.
Mm-hmm.
That's
wow.
That's powerful.
Who said that?
It's from The Man in the High Castle, first season, TV show.
Awesome. Yeah. Oh, I watched that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great show. Hmm. Great show.
Yeah.
But the point is, we talk all like, is Matt Rhule going to take the year three leap? What's going to happen? At the end of the day, guys, fate is fluid because destiny is in the hands of these young men.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about the players tonight who need to live up to their potential or need to take the next step or whatever it might be, the most essential Huskers, the Huskers that we absolutely need to be major contributors this year in order for the Matt Rhule year three leap to happen and for the Huskers to get where they want to go, which is to the back to the top of the college football mountaintop, or at least, you know, several more tiers up from where we've
been. Are we allowed to talk about Dylan?
Oh, right. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Yes. Good.
So Dylan is the most obvious one. I guess we'll just say Dylan's on the list. End of story.
I mean, he's number one.
Each of us have lists that don't include Dylan because he's number one, two, and three on the list. He's the most essential Husker. And we all are huge Dylan Raiola fanboys. And so want to make clear, he is number one on the list.
We love you, Dylan.
We all made lists. That was really good, Matteo. That was the Will Ferrell from.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. Thank you.
That was perfect. That was perfect. But Dylan's not on the list simply because like he is the obvious number one. And so
we can't talk about Dylan.
No, we can talk about it. You can talk about it.
It's going to be okay. Like,
talk about whatever you want.
We're going to talk about him a lot, like over the next probably a couple of years.
God knows.
All right, I was just checking.
God knows you're going to talk about whatever the hell you want to talk about, Jeff. So don't act so upset. We're going to a couple of things before we get there. We the last episode was so much fun, and we've gotten some really good feedback about it. We talked about like our most extreme fan reactions, and we've gotten some additional, like some other people chiming in with their own stories. So we just got a few of those. We're going to share those really quick.
Oh, we got to.
Jason from Huskerland. Not my personal reaction, but I remember before the 2010 Texas game, there was a burnt orange car by the Union Fountain that you could pay money to take a swing at with a sledgehammer. Walking by after the game, the car had been flipped over.
Yes.
I love it.
I like that one. I'm going to find one. We had a good one on YouTube too. I'll find that in a minute. But Brett Baker, longtime friend of the program, regular listener, sent us a DM. Brett B. Sorry, we don't normally say people's last names unless we've been authorized to. Hopefully Brett doesn't mind. But he sent one good, one bad one. The bad, the Byron Bennett miss in 1994, which we talked about.
That's been
Brett's a veteran. Thank you for your service, Brett. Stationed in England, didn't yet live on base. So he says, if I wanted to watch the game on the American Forces Network, I had to go into my office on base, all alone into the wee hours of the morning.
Oh, wow.
We all know how it ended. It was such a gut punch for about 4 or 5 months. Afterwards, my then wife would see me staring off into the abyss and ask, what are you thinking about? To which I would let out a pained and elongated sigh and say, nothing, just the game.
That could be the most well-written poetic.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Oh,
beautiful.
And he ended with
sad.
Ended with I was legit depressed.
Yeah.
Oh. Now for the other end, the plus side, the flea kicker. So by then I was stationed in San Antonio, and on that day, a buddy of mine had a pool party at his place. We had a lot of people there. None of them were Husker fans, other than Brett.
Oh wow.
They all took great delight in mocking him for the duration of most of the game when Missouri had the lead. Then the magic happened, and no sooner had the Blackshirt sacked Corby Jones one final time to nail the Mizzou coffin shut, and I bolted to the backyard where I got directly in the face of anyone who had given me shit and repeatedly said, and I'm not able to share what he said, but you can imagine what he said
to all
of his buddies. It's a family-friendly show, but... It was, I love it. I got the gate to the front of the house where I exited, and we went home, not minding how many friendships I had spoiled. Matty, you got one from another friend of the program who reached
out. I did. Close friend of the program, Matt McCarville. I spoke with him the other day, and he had just listened.
Okay, we gave another last name. There you go. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, he knows. He wouldn't mind.
He won't care.
No. Anyway, he just listened to that episode about the reactions, the good and the bad. He gave his experience from his point of view of the Wester catch, the Ron Kellogg to Jordan Westerkamp Hail Mary against Northwestern. He said him and his brother Andy just sprinted out to the Champions Club where they were tailgating. And as soon as they got through the gate, they saw a guy try to scale the fence and then leap over. And ended up knocking himself out cold and breaking his arm.
Good Lord.
In Matt's words, we went from elation to, oh my God, is that guy dead? Oh no, he's okay. Let's go. So that was a fun, that I thought that was a good
one. That's not an easy fence. The guy's okay. Either.
Hopefully there's no lasting damage or anything like that. And we're laughing about it. But that would be kind of funny to see in person after that.
It's incredible.
I love it.
Scary and then funny when he realizes he's okay.
We got one more a comment on YouTube. We had multiple ones. Actually, I missed this one.
Pretty popular, yeah. People enjoyed this one.
Yeah. Let me see here. I love the one, Jeff. I think this was in response to you talking about Ashley's buddy, who said
he's announced Husker football.
Just done with Husker football.
At it. I won't do it again.
This guy says, if you can walk away, it never really mattered to you. I kind of love that.
Yeah,
wow. I love that.
That's how I feel.
That's deep.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah. A couple of the good ones. The one that I love. The other Dave always watches our episode, always comments. We love you, Dave. We don't know what happened to the first Dave or who the first Dave is, but you're our Dave, other yeah, Dave. You're our Dave. Dave.
Other Dave is our Dave.
You're the other Dave is the Dave. That's exactly right. He says, love the episode, guys. I was watching the 2013 Northwestern game at a Husker bar, and I was trying to think about this, guys. I think we tried an onside kick late and didn't get it, and that's why we got the ball back with almost no time left. So we made a stop. I didn't remember all that. My memory of that starts with like the Amir Abdullah fourth down conversion. But anyway, he says, I was watching the 2013 Northwestern game at a Husker bar. When we didn't recover the onside kick, I squeezed my beer glass too hard and it shattered in my hand. Had to get stitches, and it left a nasty scar. I blame the cheap bar glasses.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Not your fault, Dave.
Or just poorly superhuman, superhuman Husker fan strength is what
you know that you know like. That like intensity strength you get like with your you've heard those stories about people in a car wreck that can like bend a steering wheel or lift adrenaline. The car to save. That's what it is right there. Sheer passion and adrenaline from a diehard Husker fan. That's what that is.
It's almost like the adrenaline you can achieve from betting on sports.
No, is that all right? All right.
Okay. Is that the lesson we want the children to hear? So, well, and I love this too. We had a little back and forth then in the comment section. Dave says, the hand is fine. Scar is a reminder of GBR for life. And there he says, this was BW time, of course, before wife.
A lot of these stories are.
Yeah. I love how that's like a time frame, like AD, BC, BW. Love that. Beautiful.
Unfortunately for us, I was still behaving like a fool. After wife, it took the kids to really rein it in, and my wife.
I think we all kind of still
that hasn't stage. Happened. Yeah, exactly. We got a little other news, guys. At least trickling out about the new Memorial Stadium vendor. They are going to be serving Vals and Runza at Memorial Stadium. So
yes,
everyone's very common fans are very excited about that. Well, Matt and Jeff
tradition
are, or Matt and TJ are. Jeff looks like he's disappointed at one of his children right now.
I'm fine with it. Okay. Good for them. I'm supporting local. Okay.
I don't need generic hot dogs or nachos. I know. I agree.
Did they say about Fairbury brand hot dogs? Do we know about that?
I think so.
That I don't know. Did they say anything about that? I think that was included. That's all I saw.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that's great too. Good. Support local. I don't have to like it, but I support them. All right. And if that's what gets the Husker fans jacked up at games, give them the hot pocket with full of beef and cabbage. Let them have it. Okay.
Put him backstage. Right. Thank you.
We removed him from the stage. Jeff's off stage.
I'm a huge fan of it. I think I've made that clear. I'm also want to take it a step further. Do any common fans know if there's still
Big Red Lemonade?
Oh, look at here. He's back. Oh, now he's Big Red Lemonade. Have you had Big Red Lemonade?
It was around 20, 30 years ago.
Has it been gone forever?
It's been gone. It's been gone for a long time.
We need Big Red Lemonade back.
Big Red Lemonade. We need
the Amigos truck. There used to be an Amigos like little.
Oh my God!
You call it like a pull trailer.
Crisp meat burritos, two for $3.
They have crisp meats and they have soft tacos.
If they had that there, I would be their number one customer, no doubt. I got the app on my phone, you guys. I'm racking up reward points at Amigos like you wouldn't believe.
I can still hear the kids. Crisp meat burritos, $2 for $3. The other thing we learned, though, guys, is fans will no longer, and this is something the common fans might have to take. This is a cause the common fans might have to take. Yeah. Fans will no longer be able to leave at halftime and then return. So you can leave, but you ain't coming back.
Yeah, there's no going out to the tailgate for a couple of pops and coming back in.
Anymore. Is that strictly because they're serving alcohol?
I think it's a big part of it. I think.
Okay. A lot of speculation. Wait, we haven't got that confirmed yet, have we? Or have we?
Oh, they're selling alcohol. Yeah.
Do we talk? I swear, early onset Alzheimer's. I'm not joking. Did we talk about this at one point?
I think we did, but when it was voted on and approved, we talked about it. This was a while back.
Because I think we were making jokes about like a $16, you know, Coors Light or something like that.
And that's probably what it will be. That's not a joke.
I'm going to guess $14.37 with tax for a tall boy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
a big one. Like the ones you get at a major league stadium, like the 24 ounce one.
Yeah.
That's still like $7 for a 12-ounce can of Coors Light. Just
It's not cheap.
No, definitely not.
But God knows I'm going to drink like five of them.
You just got to look, as long as you budget,
give me six Schlitzes.
As long as you budget for it and it's part of your entertainment budget, Jeff. I know you're a responsible father and husband.
Totally.
One more thing, guys. ESPN's computer-generated FPI rankings are out. Interesting. Nebraska's in the top 25.
Yeah.
25.
Wow. Number 25.
Yeah. Okay. And I saw, let's see, somebody on Twitter listed all the Big Ten teams and where they came out. Nebraska was sixth. You know, I want to tell you something funny, though. Yeah. Among the Big Ten teams, it goes Ohio State, then Penn State, then Oregon. Then Michigan comes in at 17th overall nationally. USC comes in at 19th overall. So Ohio State, Penn State, and Oregon were all in the top six. And then Nebraska lands at 25. But what's funny was when I saw these as only the Big Ten teams together, I was like, Ohio State, okay, that makes sense. Penn State, okay, that makes sense. Oregon, okay, that makes sense. And then I was like, Michigan and USC, those guys are just up there because of their name. Like their status is blue bloods. Like, that would never happen for Nebraska, of course, but those other two, Michigan and USC, those guys are just high on the list. They didn't even have recognition last year. It's just the name recognition and the helmets. Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And one, that's stupid because it's computer generated. And two, after the last 10 years of Nebraska football, you could argue that Nebraska is only sixth on the list because of our blue blood status.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you guys make of all this?
I think that there is palpable buzz about Nebraska football right now.
I think that's real outside of the state. I think real.
Yeah. I think it's a lot of it's two things. I think it's Matt Rhule and I think it's Dylan Raiola. Like Matt Rhule he's really well liked like nationally in the media. Like the only place you might find they don't like him is probably Carolina. And what do they know about football? Yeah. It turns out. So I think it's a product of Matt Rhule and how likable he is, how he'll go on all these national shows and the hosts love him and he's great TV and a great interview. Mm-hmm. And then we've got this stud quarterback who's this legacy kid and golden arm and all that. And he looks like Patrick Mahomes and emulates him. So it's a lot of that.
Yeah.
So now they just got to go do it on the field.
It's all the factors. Like he's going to be under Dana Holgerson's tutelage for an entire offseason.
There's Dana. It's the Dana factor.
You know, the Rhule year three leap. Like all these factors, I think people are buying into that. So
definitely.
I'm taking a measured approach. As we've discussed many times on this podcast, I'm saying 11-1, 10-2 at the worst. Yes. But I'm being very measured, very measured. And
CFP.
Totally clear-eyed on this.
Probably make the CFP. I don't think we're going to win it all, though.
Maybe not.
Never
Interestingly, old friend Texas is number one on that list, which just makes me vomit.
Sick.
Yeah,
disgusting.
Exactly.
Well, the sad thing is, though, it's a computer, guys. AI is everywhere now. AI knows everything. So if they want to put us in the top 25, I'm not gonna say they're wrong. They know everything now. These damn machines.
The FBI rankings have been around long before this.
Yeah.
It's still. I'm sure it's advanced. All right. I'm sure it's advanced now. It probably makes all of its own decisions. It's like ChatGPT. It knows what it's doing.
Skynet.
Okay? Exactly. It is. It's exactly like Skynet.
They still have to play the games, Jeffrey. Okay. They still have to play the games.
August 29th, 1997. Just remember that date, everyone.
What the hell are you talking about?
You don't know. You know. It's August 29th.
Terminator 2.
There you go. Thank you.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's get to this episode. And we're going to have to put Jeff backstage again if he keeps talking. All right. Most essential Huskers. I will say normally we each make our own list and we don't compare notes, but we didn't want to have any overlap today. So we did consult each other a little bit in advance of the episode to make sure we had a nice list. But guess what? That means you get to hear about nine essential Huskers. And who knows? Maybe we'll even throw in a few extra honorable mentions as well. I think when we think about essential, we think about maybe positions of need or like an idea of if this guy got hurt, like there's really not a lot behind him or like he's irreplaceable kind of thing. And then also, I think just the whole picture, the whole big picture The way I think about it, at least certainly, is at certain positions, maybe it's because we need the offense to take a leap forward or we don't want the defense to fall back. So there's some different criteria that we all put into this, and we all have slightly different ways of how we look at it. Again, Dylan is the obvious number one most essential Husker on everybody's list. We're putting him at number one on our list. I don't want there to be any ambiguity about that. So we came up with some names other than Dylan, because he's going to need, obviously, a supporting cast. So, Jeff, I know you were whining about not going first last time. Would you like to go first?
No? Jeez.
Matt, why don't you go first?
Am I going first?
Yeah, Matt, you go first.
Yeah, Matt, go ahead, Matt.
Okay.
You had your chance, Jeff. You had your chance.
I'll go first every time. I don't give a crap. Yeah. I think we know that games are won and lost in the trenches, up front, both sides of the ball, the big guys, the hog mollies, if you will.
Hog mollies.
Wow. A lot of people wondering who's going to step in, fill in for Ty Robb, fill in for Polar Bear Nash. It's going to be RVP, Riley Van Poppel. I think we're going to see kind of a breakout year from RVP. I think that the real ones know that the potential that he's got, and I think you're going to see it this season. He's going to be taking on double teams. He's going to be messing things up in the run game. I am really, really excited to watch him play. Riley Van Poppel is essential.
Essential. Love it. RVP played a bit in his 2023 season. Mm-hmm. He redshirted last year. I think, wasn't he the guy that Rule made the comment about, like, you could play, you know, a little bit this year, or you could redshirt and then be Ty Robinson? Now, that's not totally fair to put that on the kid, but, like, hopefully he's a major factor on the defense this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And who's to say he won't be better than Ty Robb? I mean, Ty Robb, you know, it took him a few years to kind of reach where he could get to. You know, I'd say his last 2 years, really, we finally saw how he could play, but it took him a little while to get there. I think RVP is going to be a little bit quicker to take things in. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to make some impact plays this fall.
Yeah. Love that. All right, Jeff, it's your turn.
Oh, thanks. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Little GF.
Thanks for letting me talk. By the way, anybody that has initials like that, like instantly to me, they're just awesome. RVP.
I mean, it sounds like a pro wrestler.
That's cool. Yeah. RVP, MVP. It's awesome.
You guys see what RVP did on Saturday?
RVP.
I'll get the obvious one out of the way for all you folks, because all of our listeners that are listening right now, you know, the common fans have been very, very high on a certain running back by the name of Emmett Johnson, aka Emmett Brown, aka 88 miles per hour, aka 1.21 gigawatts. We love this guy here on the podcast. We love him. Last season, we were hot. TJ was especially high on him, and he had his moments. And
I was right.
You were right. He kind of died off for a little bit there with Dowdell. Came back at the end of the season, took over, and we need that. We need that this year because besides him, I mean, you guys know better than I on depth, but you've got Quint Knives, and if between those two, if we don't have Emmett Johnson, he is essential. We need this man to step up this year. We're going to need somebody, and Owens, you said it, this dude grounds and pounds. He doesn't try and juke you. He doesn't try and break your legs. He tries to run right the hell through you. We need this type of physical player in our backfield. Let's do this. He is an essential player, obviously.
I think he's got a little slipperiness to him, but I wouldn't, you know, you're not really a film watcher, Jeff.
But so you loved him so much last year. You've probably done all the research on him.
No, but that pick is doubly important because not only is he set to be the lead back, you said it, Jeff. We don't really know what we have behind him. And they went and tried to get Marty Brown from the transfer portal and didn't work out. And so you said it, they've got Ives, they've got Mekhi Nelson, Connor Booth from Wahoo Newman is going to be a true freshman. They got the other true freshman. I think I'm missing one other maybe, but like all that's unproven. So hopefully one or two of those guys can become a contributor, because even if nothing happens to Emmett, you need depth, right? But I mean, he's so essential because we need him to have a big year and we need him to stay healthy. So Excellent choice, Jeff. Sure. Excellent pick, Jeff. I'm gonna start with a guy who's been a favorite on the program since we started, since we launched the pod in October of 2023. We've had nothing but love with William Wallace.
Yes.
AKA Heinrich Harbert. Right.
There you go.
And we started calling him William Wallace because he's such a warrior. In 2023, he took over at quarterback when they discovered Jeff Sims was allergic to pigskin and he had to sit some games out. And Harbert led the offense. I mean, that offense was struggling. It was a transition year, Rule's first year, and they were running a lot of option and he was just taking a beating. And he was such a great leader that year and he led them to several wins and all that. So Harbert, as all fans know, I think at this point is making the move full-time to tight end. I'm kind of curious, how that will play out. Will he and Lindenmeyer be on the field at the same time? Is Harbert your for sure starter or is he not? I don't know, but we all know how fast he is. We all know how athletic he is. His dad was a college football player. His mom was an Olympian. And so I think there's this move makes a ton of sense. And I think he's essential because if he can I was going to say breakout. I'm not even going to say breakout. If he can be a steady performance and another contributor and a reliable option for Dylan, along with what we hope will be multiple wide receivers, that will be a huge difference maker for the offense, right? For the offense. Sure. So really excited about Heinrich Harbert, AKA William Wallace. Number 10 on the field, number 1 in our hearts.
I love that.
Wow, that was lovely, TJ.
And he's such a glue guy. He's been kind of one of the team leaders for a couple of years now, it feels like.
Yeah.
And so there's that part of it too. I think he's a good guy to have in the locker room. Period.
Are you going to be demanding him to get a full series again this year, TJ? Is that still going to be a demand of yours?
Well, I thought it made
give him a package or two.
I thought it made sense to have a couple packages for him. Last year, talked about it several times. I'm glad you haven't forgotten. I'm glad you listened to what I say, Jeff. I appreciate that.
I do. I take this all in.
I think now they didn't do it when he was the backup quarterback, so I think it's less likely they'll do it when he's a tight end.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, you've been on the William Wallace Harbert train for a long time. I mean, remember when he had those beautiful balls?
Yeah, the beautiful balls.
I remember that. Yeah, I do remember that.
I didn't even mean to say that. Okay, I didn't even mean to say it. Just straight in. Came out. He threw some beautiful spirals, is what I was trying
beautiful
to say.
Passes.
It's some beautiful balls. Yeah. All right, Matty O, number
yes,
two. You're number two. Most essential Husker in 2020.
My number two most essential Husker is a wideout. Goes by the name of Dane Key.
Need him.
I want to give you some numbers. I did a little research here, a little homework.
You did?
Dane Key, in 3 seasons as a Kentucky Wildcat, played in 38 games with 35 starts. Okay. Started almost every game he played at Kentucky. Caught 126 passes for 1,870 yards, 14 touchdowns. Guys, do you know with that yardage where that would put him on the Nebraska career receiving yards list?
I'd like to know.
He'd be seventh after 3 seasons of college football. He'd be seventh on the all-time Husker receiving yards list. Mm-hmm. This guy's got production in the SEC. Okay, yeah. He's caught a lot of balls, and I watched some of his highlights. He'll go in traffic. They were beautiful balls. Well, not beautiful. He didn't have the best quarterback play. He would have had even bigger numbers if he did. But no, he will not hesitate to go in traffic across the middle and catch a ball. Guys, how big would that have been a few times last year? We would have really liked a guy that can go over the middle, be sure-handed, and catch a ball. I mean, we maybe win the Iowa game if we have that. Not calling anyone out. But
Isaiah Nair.
Could be huge. Well, yeah. I think this guy's going to be a big, big addition for Dylan. He's got sure hands. He runs great routes. I mean, look, he ran some great routes against Georgia in the highlights that I saw. Number one Georgia at the time that Kentucky played him. Big, huge impact player. And I think another level, like we saw what they did last year in adding Nair and Banks. To me, this is like a step up from there. Like this, this guy can play ball. So very excited for Mr. Dane Key. I think he's going to be kind of the leader in that wideout room. Hope essential. He's love essential.
That. He is essential.
Well, that's why they brought him in, right? It's really interesting. I did it won't be out for a while, but I did I did this last year too. You guys remember that Duck podcast? This guy goes really in depth on the other Big Ten teams.
Oh,
I
mean,
he watches film and he charts plays and he looks at advanced metrics. And good I think Lord. He might know more about Nebraska's roster than I do, and along with like all the rest of the Big Ten. But anyway, so that'll come out at some point, but I went on with him just to give the sort of Nebraska perspective. One thing that jumped out to me is there's so much to be excited about, but a lot of it is either Nebraska players that have like RVP that we think is going to be really good, but isn't totally proven yet, or transfers that haven't done it at Nebraska yet.
Mm-hmm.
So like a lot of our optimism is based on that. And again, whether or not these guys play out, like a Dane Key plays out, probably makes the difference in the season. And that's why he's so essential.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wonderful addition. Wonderful addition, TJ.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jeffrey, you're up. It's your turn, Jeff, and you can take as long as you like.
Thank you.
Say whatever you want to say.
The floor is yours, Jeff.
You guys are being so polite right now. I love this. I feel so welcome and warm. We can't talk about Dylan, right? So I can't. I'm not gonna. I have to bring up something TJ said,
that, Jeff. We have. I'll talk about this. Those guidelines.
We know Dylan's going to be the guy. We know that he's the essential player. He's the one that's going to lead us back to where we need to be, right? But how does Dylan do this? How can he do this? He can't do it all on his own. You need protection. You need this man to be safe back there. You need to have time. He needs to have time to throw passes. He needs to have time to read defenses. He needs to have time to check down. He needs to have time to call audibles. He needs to do all these things. You know who's going to help accomplish that, you guys? I don't know. A guy that might have played in a national title game just last year for arguably one of the greatest football programs in college football history. I don't know. Maybe. You guys might know what I'm talking about. Transferred to Nebraska. A little guy. Well, TJ, I still always say, Rocco, our man Rocco Spindler, he is an essential player this year.
I like the pick.
Very good.
They brought him in for a reason, as TJ said, but Dane Key, they brought this guy in for a reason. We need Dylan to be comfortable in the backfield. There were times last year when it just didn't seem right, as Owen said, where he felt like he was just running for his life the second the ball was snapped. This guy, I know not one person can change everything, but this is somebody that can change a lot of the way that this offense operates if Dylan can just have a little bit more time back there. So that's my pick. Obviously, we brought him in for a reason. Rocco is essential.
I love that, Jeffrey. Love the passion. That's a Godfather 2 reference. I think I explained that. Rocco, alive! I think it is like Rocco is a huge testament to the fact that he did play for a national championship caliber program and started most of the games last year and wanted to come to Nebraska. So I think like he's going to be a really important presence in that O-line room, but I think it also says a lot about what at least his perception of what Rule is building that, you know, he decided to come be part of the program. Matty, any thoughts on Rocco?
Well, you know, like I said earlier, the games are won and lost in the trenches, and that's just the other side of the ball. And I think it's a huge addition. You know, you go through the offensive line, and it looks like a pretty good unit. There's a lot of experience there, a lot of youth, but highly touted youth. So it's a great pick, Jeff. Rocco.
I love it. I'm going to go with a young guy that we're all super excited about. Games are won and lost in the trenches. You know what else they say, Matty O? Defense wins championships.
They do say that too.
And Vincent Shavers was already a contributor last year as a freshman. And I think you know, especially by the by the late in the season, by the bowl game, especially, he was all over the field making plays, making tackles, and just a big guy, an athletic guy. He's a linebacker. Really excited about Vincent Shavers Jr. Really excited about what he can bring. And another area where you look at the linebacker room. We lost John Bullock. We lost Stephon Thompson. We lost Mekhi Bayer. Jamari Butler, I think, is more of a defensive lineman, but to the extent that he was kind of, you know, those backers and DNs kind of are interchangeable at times, right? So another guy we lost. So, like you
Prince
look
Will.
At
Prince Will.
Yeah. So you look at the room. I don't want to make it too much of a stretch, but basically you look at the room, we've got Deson McCullough from Oklahoma, who again, supposed to be a great athlete, hasn't played at Nebraska yet. Marquez Watson Trent from Georgia Southern, hopefully can play in the Big Ten. Right.
Right.
We got some true freshmen that they're high on, but they're going to be true freshmen. Javon Wright's back. Hopefully he's healthy, but like we're gonna need Shavers. And I don't want to do a two for one, but probably throw Willis McGahee in there as well. Like we need both of those guys to be regular contributors as linebackers, both young guys, both only sophomores this year, both flashed during the season and then really came on late. I wasn't planning on doing that. I'll just put pair of those guys together, Shavers and McGahee, because they're both going to be essential for that linebacker room.
Yeah. I love that.
Defense wins championships, guys.
It does. Yeah. It does. Okay. You got to tackle. You got to tackle.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Hey, all TJ, right. when it all comes down to it, it's all blocking and tackling.
That, you know, that's a metaphor for life, man.
Look at you guys in like all of your metaphors and quotes. TJ, when you said, you know what they say, I thought you were going to have some weird Tolstoy quote again or something like that. Ooh.
Again, Jeff, that episode hasn't even aired yet, but whatever. Matty-o.
Oh yeah.
Well, let's stick with the linebackers then. I'll just go to my next one.
I'm glad that you at least like pay attention to what I say.
I listen to what everybody says.
What else you got?
Well, let's keep it going with the linebacker unit. And I'm going to go Deson McCullough because this guy, by all accounts, this guy is a freak of nature. He's an incredible athlete. I mean, you look at the size. He's let's see here. Is he 6'5"? Bear with me, boys and girls. 6'5", 235. But you know, he like played a year at Indiana, was freshman All-American or something like that. Didn't really play a ton at Oklahoma, but he showed flashes, I guess. But it seems like with you see his numbers, he had some sacks and things like that. I think big play potential. Mm-hmm. When was the last time we had a defender that had big play potential? We've had a lot of solid guys able to make tackles, but who's the guys that are knocking the ball away? You know, Shavers made a play, I think, in the Pinstripe Bowl. He forced a fumble. We don't have guys doing it. We need guys that are going to take the ball away, hit guys so hard they fumble, rake at the ball, get the ball out. We need playmakers. And McCullough might be one of those guys. And just what you said about, you know, the linebacker room, there's a lot of question marks. So I think he could step in and make a big, big impact. And I could be wrong on this, but I swear somebody that we talked to said he might be kind of slot in the Isaac Gifford role and that kind of rover. Like he's athletic enough to do that. That's kind of freaky to think about. I mean, a guy with that size kind of playing the same position that Gifford was playing. I don't know. A lot of excitement in the linebacker core this year. Question marks, but excitement.
Linebackers are cool. Remember I said that. They're cool. They're Hollywood. Cool. They're cool.
Like Alvin Mack.
Exactly. You corrected me. I thought it was Latimer, but it was Alvin Mack in the program.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of neck rolls, too. Don't linebackers rock neck rolls a lot?
Well, they used to wear those a lot.
Jeff. Love those. Those are cool as hell.
We don't have a lot of original thoughts on the Common Fan podcast. We just repeat what other people tell us. But no, that's a joke, by the way. You guys should be really serious. I'm joking. But no, I do think I read somewhere, or maybe one of our guests told us at one point that he got moved around a lot at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And they thought now he's going to have like a dedicated position at Nebraska. Like he was really going to flourish. I thought it was the Jack linebacker role, which is a little bit more like like linebacker
Rover.
D line, right? More than the Isaac Gifford, which is
kind of
like
sure.
Right, like the nickel spot or whatever it was. I'm not an X's and O's guy. Let me be clear. So, but whatever it is, I think I read again. I'm pretty sure it was somebody on the show told us, like they felt like he was a perfect fit for what they wanted him to do, and he's going to have like this dedicated role, and he's really athletic, and they're really excited about him. So
right. Well, and I hear 6'5", 235, and I immediately think pass rusher. That's just me.
Yeah, right.
So maybe he's had some sacks in his college career. So that would be nice to get some of those. We love those. We like sacks.
Yeah.
We like to get to the quarterback. If you're not going to get to him before he throws it, hit him after he throws it. I don't care.
Yeah.
But don't get a penalty. Yeah.
Tough linebackers are definitely rocking a jock strap. I'll tell you that much right now.
Is it a Duke?
I'm sorry, what?
Definitely Duke brand for sure.
I don't think anybody wears those anymore, Jeff. I hate to break your heart.
I don't think anybody.
It's more of a, everybody wears more of a compression
that,
short.
That's why we're not where we need to be, all right? That's why.
I don't think
so. That's why. Coincidence? Okay.
You ever worn one of those? Comfortable, back in the day. Jeff. There's a reason they're not popular anymore.
I think they've probably been discontinued. They don't even make them anymore. It's
horrible. Don't you talk like that. Don't you ever
along
say
with
that
those,
again,
along
DJ.
With those protective cups that go a little too far under the boys.
Well,
a little too far.
The cup is necessary.
You don't want the elongated one.
Yeah.
Okay.
The cup was always necessary for sure on the baseball field.
Yes.
You can put a cup in compression shorts. You don't need the old school.
There's been a lot of advances.
Technological advances in 25 years. I don't know why Jeff, it'll be months and then suddenly he'll go back to jock straps and I never understand it. But again, Jeff, you can say whatever you want to say up.
And I'm up. Oh, great. Yeah. I'm up. Okay, great. Cool. Well, I think in the past, at least three seasons, if not going back even farther, we always have some sort of group position, what have you, that we're like, it would be awesome if we could just be average. If we could just be average at this, that would change the entire trajectory of the season. You know, in years past, it's been the defense, and recent years, it's been the offense. If we could just be average, and now it seems like in recent years, it's been special teams. If we could just be average, make reasonable field goals, not asking a lot. Make an extra point, maybe put a punt where it's supposed to go, anything like that. Field a ball appropriately where you're not, you know, stepping out of bounds on the 1 yard line or anything like that. Just average at special teams. And that includes kickers. And so I'm going to steal TJ here and I'm going to do a twofer because I don't really know who's going to be out there. So I'm going to say Tristan Alvano. And then our boy, John Hole. Smoke up, Johnny! Smoke up! All right? You're both essential this year. We need you to step up and do your job because that is the difference in those one-score games that we just suck at every year is special teams. A field goal is the difference between a win and a loss. An extra point is the difference between a win and a loss. We need our special teams unit, especially kickers, to step their game up this year. Because we're going to be in those close games. There's no doubt about it. We're not blowing out teams. I know that for sure. We are going to be in dogfights more often than not, and we're going to need a kicker that's going to be able to convert when we need him to convert. So I'm going to say both Tristan Alvano and our boy Johnny Hole. Smoke up, Johnny!
That's a breakfast.
I kind of hope Johnny wins the job just so we can keep that going.
I just want to keep saying that. Yeah, it's fun to say.
That's a Breakfast Club reference for anybody who doesn't know. GF, that's a great point. And we can all believe that special teams is going to get a lot better because David City, Nebraska native Mike Eckler is taking over as special teams coordinator.
Yes, indeed.
But it is the kicker situation is a question mark. Alvano obviously has had the job for parts of the last two seasons. And then it seemed like last year he was never fully over that groin injury. I think it's a groin injury. And so Johnny Hole took over, and then Hole would he made three field goals in the Ohio State game, for instance, and kept us in that game. And then he had other games where he had some bad misses, but then it came out or was obvious in the moment that it wasn't all his fault because of bad snaps or whatever else. And so it's a huge question mark. I don't think anybody really knows which guy it's going to be or how it's going to play out. Whoever it is, though, JF, you're exactly right. Even if we believe the Huskers are going to take a huge leap in 2025, that probably doesn't mean we're just going to blow out a bunch of Big Ten teams. We're going to have to win close games, and that involves making kicks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Love it, Gio. All right, my last one is a fan favorite, Ja'Cory Barney.
Hey-o.
Yes.
True freshman receiver last year. Electric on the field, electric with the ball in his hands. And we talked about it multiple times. He'd just get popped and he'd bounce right back up. All of this as a true freshman. And it's interesting, again, high hopes for Dane Key. High hopes for Nazaiah Hunter, the transfer from Cal. High hopes that some of these newer, younger recruits, Cortez Mills and Isaiah Mosey and some others, like hopefully Dylan's got about seven or eight weapons all over the field that he can get the ball to. Maybe that's Heinrich Harburg and Luke Lindenmeyer as well, whoever. But again, back to the theme, there's not very many guys who have proven it and done it. And Barney, especially as a true freshman, is one of those guys. Mm-hmm. And so I think for him not only to reprise his role, for lack of a better way to put it, but also to take a step forward is going to be essential for this offense. And I also think a guy like Dana Holgorsen is going to know like how best to use him.
Yes.
So I'm really, really excited about Barney, but I think he needs to sort of live up to the potential that we all saw last year in order for this offense to get where they want to go.
Yeah, I think he's got to make a couple of house calls, I think. Like, break a couple of real big ones.
That would be awesome. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, you know, I think this offense is going to score 40 a game, guys.
Woo! What a game. That's why we're going to be 11. That's why we're going to be 11
and
1.
Saying, I'm just saying. The Kool-Aid is flowing. Dana Holgorsen, all these receivers. I mean, a lot of weapons.
40 weapons. There's no close games. You can just erase my last pick. Owens for scoring 40 a game. There are no close games.
I think we're going to blow everybody out. We're going to blow them out.
I mean, I don't really know, like, what's the evidence to the contrary, you know? Like what's there to stop us? Yeah, nothing's going to stop us now.
Yep. Place your bets now. Huskers are the CFP.
Of course, you're talking. Place your bets, right? What else are you betting on these days? You degenerate.
Excuse me.
Listen. Yeah, you heard what I said.
Listen,
it's totally legal, Jeff. Totally legal.
Listen. Well, first of all, children don't gamble. Second of all, if you have a problem, 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Bets off.
Third of all, though, Matt, it might be fun. And this was your idea via text conversation recently.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm. It might be fun if the common fans maybe pool our funds and just maybe put a little bit of money on some things for 2025. Maybe like a over under on the record, maybe even like a CFP or a Big Ten title game appearance. Just because the payout would be better, you know, if it happened.
We can hedge. With the over under win total, because
we're gonna be well over. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's easy money.
You're gonna get us in deep with the Sharks. We're gonna be in big trouble.
No.
Rocco's
big trouble.
Totally above board. Totally above board.
I saw the
Big Ten Huddle put out that for the Huskers to make the CFP, they're +680. So you bet $100, you win $680.
We could do a lot with – we could buy a lot of socks with $680.
yes, we could. Mm-hmm.
We could buy a lot of socks from silliesco.com.
Yes, indeed.
$680.
Nice plug.
Where's that from? FanDuel or something?
Sports King, DraftKings, one of those. I don't remember.
Maybe DraftKings, maybe. I think the last over or under on the win total I saw was 7.5 maybe?
Yeah, that's the last one I saw too. Yeah.
I'll put the kids' college education on over on 7.5, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you got? A 529 plan? It's got to be a qualified withdrawal, man.
Okay, Jeff.
I'll pay the taxes, Jeff, because we're going to more than make up for it with our winnings.
By the way, the odds, we were 8th in the Big Ten in odds to make the CFP. So 6th in the FPI.
Okay.
FPI, 8th in Vegas odds to get to the CFP. So, they're both pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Well, and the other thing is, though, Matty O, there's a reason they play the games, okay?
That's right.
I was telling you guys before we hit record, Michael Boy is in his year-end tournament with his little league team. We won our first round game pretty handily.
Let's go.
And now we play one of the better teams in the league tomorrow night. I guess by the time this airs, that game will be over. But I keep telling these guys, hey, this other team, they put their pants on one leg at a time, just like you did. All right. This is why they play the games. None of this is preordained. Yeah. None of this is preordained.
I thought it's a motivational quote from Tolstoy or something like that, right?
No, you know what we're gonna have?
That episode hasn't aired yet.
Give him that line from The Man in the High Castle.
Fate is fluid. Destiny is in the hands of men. We're gonna have a Ted Lasso belief sign in the dugout tomorrow night.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, I love that.
I've never watched that show. Heard it's great. Never watched it.
Put him back on stage again.
Just watch it.
A TV show?
Why? Because it doesn't have any dragons or swords, Jeff.
Yeah, it doesn't, obviously.
Not enough lightsabers for you.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. We're derailing. Yeah, Let's wrap this thing up.
Let's get out of here.
Okay.
All right, Common fans, thanks for hanging with us. We are super close now to launching our summer series, which we're very excited about. We have already recorded. We already have some of those episodes in the can, so that's what we're talking about. Last summer we brought you The Reckoning. This summer it's going to be a different topic. It's going to be a multi-episode series. We're very excited about it. Mm-hmm. That's going to be launching before June is over. Okay.
Yes.
And that will help get you through the rest of the summer. That will help get you to August and fall camp, and then football season will basically be here. That's what we're here for. The Common Fan podcast. So, any final thoughts, Matt? Jeff, you can just stop talking. Matt, any final thoughts?
What the?
No, I don't think I do. Just I'm excited for this Husker football season. Hey, shout out to Nebraska baseball. I know they kind of laid an egg in the regional, but for them to battle back and win the Big Ten back to back, I thought that was pretty sweet. So shout out to Will Bolt and the Husker baseball team.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to react like that. It was kind of disappointing, the regional performance, but I guess they finished eighth. Can we clarify something? And Common fans, if you have to go, we're done talking about football. So if you have to stop listening now, we understand. But I see people on Twitter, and I'm not trying to take away from anything at all. They got themselves into a regional after dealing with injuries and a sort of disappointing regular season. Mm-hmm. They did not win the Big Ten. They won the Big Ten tournament. Winning the conference is a season-long exercise that is hard to do.
Yes.
Winning the conference tournament is also hard to do, but it's not as hard to do as winning the conference. I don't mean to be throwing cold water on anything here, but they did not win the conference in back-to-back years.
No, they won the conference tournament in back-to-back years.
And obviously, Bolt, that gets you to a regional, and Coach Bolt should get credit for that. And they're going to continue fine-tuning and trying to figure out what they can do to win the actual conference. We're all supportive of that. I'm not being critical of anyone here, but it drives me nuts. And it's like, I'm not going to engage in this Twitter conversation because it's not worth it. But they won the conference tournament, not the conference. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Thank you, TJ. Oh, yeah. Thanks for the cold water.
Yeah, thanks. I didn't even realize that. Thanks a lot. I thought we were Big Ten champs. Thanks a lot.
Beneath the gregarious exterior, I'm kind of wound pretty tight. Just so
you're kidding.
Yeah, it may shock you.
I'm shocked. Color me shocked. Me too.
What do you know?
Yeah. So, all right, let's wrap this thing up. We love you all, Common fans.
Love you.
We're really excited about the summer series that we're all going to enjoy.
Super excited.
We will be back at you soon. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.